Hello, and welcome to Doc Talk. Representation of different racial and ethnic groups in clinical trials has been an ongoing concern across all clinical fields, and pediatrics is no exception. A recent study from Emory University School of Medicine found that the number of pediatric clinical trials that reported participant race and ethnicity had increased from 2011 to 2020. However, participant race and ethnicity were still underreported. Lead study author Dr. Chris Reese from the Division of Pediatric Emergency Medicine at Emory University spoke of how addressing issues of representation could improve upon disparities in healthcare, not only in the pediatric space, but across all medical fields. I really appreciate you taking your time to do this interview. And I think we should start off with talking about just the fact that representation in clinical trials has been a very important issue. We've hosted quite a few conversations about that on our site, but I'd really like to hear from you in terms of what was the inspiration for this study and how has pediatrics changed in recent years in terms of representation in these trials?
Yeah. Thank you, Armand. Again, I'm happy to be here and thanks for your interest in our work. The inspiration for this study really came from the experience of myself and my colleagues on this manuscript, in which we read these articles all the time about disparities in outcomes among children based on race and ethnicity. And a lot of these studies are descriptive and kind of point to these issues that have been well described with, you know, disparities in mortality and disparities in different outcomes and so on and so forth. And I think overall, as a field, it's time that we start moving more towards solutions. And in our mind, this was something that's an actionable way to include representation. Investigators are the people who are approaching potential participants, and they're very intentional about who they approach, right? Before a trial begins, there are planned inclusion and exclusion criteria. So it's very clear that investigators know who they hope to enroll in trials. And our thought was that looking critically at trial enrollment over time would provide that window into what's going well and what's not going well in the way of trial enrollment by race and ethnicity. And then to the second part of your question, so I think things are getting better. I will say that over the 10-year period that we looked at, 2011 to 2020, reporting of race and ethnicity did increase. And we also looked at the number of children who were enrolled by different race and ethnicity groups. And for the most part, things were not getting better on the whole, but there was an increase in Asian representation, which is reassuring in that that was one of the most underrepresented groups that we saw overall looking at our 10 years of data.
And you mentioned that window of time, that 10 years of in your study. I'd like to give some more information about the study. I think it was a total of 612 articles that were reviewed, and it found that 486 of them reported on participant race and 338 reported on participant ethnicity. And like you said, on the whole, maybe there's work to be done, but I wanted to ask, what are some contributing factors to this gradual increase in representation that you saw?
Yeah, it's a great question. It turns out not much. You know, we created what's called a multivariable logistic regression model. And the outcome that we looked at there was, did the trialists enroll a diverse population, at least as diverse as the state's diversity? It's a little confusing as to, you know, how you define that, but essentially there's something called the diversity index, which gives you a sense of how diverse is your population in comparison to what it should be. This is something that was developed all the way back in 1949 in a Nature paper. So we reached way back into history to get this methodologic approach. But using that as our outcome, again, enrollment of children, of a patient population of children that were as diverse as the state, it turned out there wasn't really much that was associated with that outcome. So we sort of think, you know, and we looked at a variety of different factors, the size of the trial, whether or not there was inclusion of stakeholder input, which actually showed lower odds of enrolling a diverse population, which I can get to in just a moment. But there really wasn't a lot at that level. But this, to kind of answer the question of why we think things are increasing over time, I think there's just been a big movement in healthcare that we've been we've done things wrong for some time in terms of enrollment of children based on their race and ethnicity, in terms of treatment of patients based on their race and ethnicity. And so I do think over the last few years there has been this sort of awakening. We also saw that a lot of journals actually require the inclusion of rationale for including children of different races and ethnicities, and require the reporting of race and ethnicity. The NIH and the FDA both mandate that in planned trial enrollment. And so I think it's a combination of different factors, but looking at sort of the trial level factors, not much really panned out. So I think it's kind of these larger kind of movements that are a little bit harder to measure in a model like we looked at.
Could you possibly expand on that stakeholder input? I felt like that was really interesting.
Yeah, thank you. So essentially, as we were reviewing the articles, we looked for language, which we realized beforehand, there was not going to be a standardized way that people would report if community stakeholders were involved in the trial development. There are some journals like the British Medical Journal that require a statement that says whether or not you involve patients or community members in the development of the trial. But that's not across the board. So the question we wanted to answer with that is, you know, what are people doing in the way of asking, what are people doing in the way of including community members, stakeholders, religious groups, school board members, what have you? Again, it takes a variety of different shapes. What are people doing in the way of enrolling, of including those participants, and how does that affect trial enrollment? And again, this is where it gets a little tricky, because the outcome we looked at was enrollment of a diverse population. And it turns out those trials that did include some sort of statement about stakeholder involvement actually enrolled less diverse patient populations. And though I can't prove this and I can't test this, my thinking is that those trials tend to be those that are focused on certain populations. And so by default, they're not going to be as diverse, because they're focused on Hispanic or Latino populations or Black or African-American populations. In my mind, it says the trialists who are engaging in that are focusing on these populations that have been underserved and underrepresented historically.
I wanted to kind of circle back to the first question and kind of ask again, in a way, why it's important to address certain issues in pediatric populations, and start at a very young age to try to bridge the health equity gap. What is the importance of having more diverse populations in pediatric trials?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I think it's important to enroll diverse populations in all trials, whether it's adults or children. I just happen to be a pediatric emergency medicine doctor, and so, you know, addressing issues as they relate to children is my, you know, primary interest. But I truly think we need to be thinking about this at all levels. And what I can tell you from our review of prior studies is that it looks like pediatrics does a little bit of a better job than adult populations. Some of the references we have show that as low as 27% of adult trials report participant race and ethnicity. Some of those are older, but I think a contemporary analysis looking at adult populations is important. So I don't mean to sidestep your question, but I just truly think that it doesn't matter what the patient's age is. We should be thinking about, you know, being equitable and enrolling diverse populations. It just so happens that we focused on children given our background among the team.
We'd like to thank Dr. Reese for being part of the program, and thank you for listening. If you want more pediatric news, make sure to follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. We'll be back next week with a new episode of Doc Talk. Until then, stay safe and stay healthy.